The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Daf Yomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the Daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Daf Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf in the Masechet Shabbat is daf Kuf Mem Vav. We're holding the Halakha Mishnah about one-fourth of the way down, and our president will begin with the famous words.
Look, the Halakha Mishnah.
Shovera Adam et Achavit. That comes once again one of the most common and problematic sugyas about opening bottles on Shabbos and getting open boxes on Shabbos and can you open cans on Shabbos and so on and so forth. So the Mishnah tells us if you've got a barrel which is full of various fruit, except it doesn't say various fruit. It says grota. We'll see that may be very significant, which are bedavka figs. Why figs would be different than anybody else, who knows, but we'll think about it in a moment. So you can break open a barrel in order to get out the grogrot to eat, as long as your kavana was not to make it into a container that is now going to be nice and reusable, polished top and so on. You can just bust it. If you bust it, Rashi says the reason... the reason that you can bust it is because it's mekalka. And Mikalko is okay. That's many problems with that. First of all, Rashi all along has been saying that there's no binyan bekalim. And if there's no binyan bekalim, if there's no binyan bekalim, that's a question. It's mashma, there are places where there are binyan bekalim, which I'll get to in a moment. So then there should be no problem. I mean, binyan bekalim, it's dira bekalim, what's the problem? And if there is, then Rashi holds that there is, so then Mekalka is not mutter l'chatrila, so why would we say that Mekalka the Rabbanon Asr anyway? So basically, there are many different approaches here. Some learn that this is a special din for food. In other words, that we didn't ask you being able to open up containers of food on Shabbat because of that. What we're really saying is that a Mekalka in a case where you're going to be eating, on that we weren't gezer.
Now,
Ochel or Shtia. We're going to talk about wine in a minute. And, okay, now, there's some Shitas, those results that we're talking about specifically poorly made kalim, this is a specific type of kli, which are not meant to be, which of course we also use, kalim that are really used only for packaging and then you dump them anyway. And because of that, there were no gezeras on it. Others are mechalik between kalim that are large enough. If they hold our blame saw, then we say that there is binyan. If not, we say that ain't binyan. So that maybe over here it would be a problem of what size the kli is. But the problem is that we clearly are being mechalik in the Mishnah not to make something yofen. And that means, of course, is the problem of opening up the bottles where you create, by breaking off the top, you create a reusable top. Now, if you're telling me that there's no binyan or stira in a kli, then there shouldn't be any iser of asiyas kli, because asiyas kli is basically tikkun kli. So make up your mind. If you're allowed to break open the kli, then why aren't you allowed to be making the kli? Because you're telling me that that's not called asiyah. So it's interesting, the Chazon Ish is mechalek between creating something, in which case there, of course, the creation of a thing, it doesn't matter what it is. That, by definition, is binyan, because creativity, making something useful in the first place, is for sure binyan. The question is, if something is already there, where it doesn't have that absolute creativity, that's already a different issue. Where over there we have these machlokes of whether there's yesh binyan bekelim or yesh stira bekelim. But certainly everybody agrees that you cannot be mechavein lasot kli in the first place. That's why there are people who are very, very machbit on the soda top, on the opening of the bottle, because it creates a reusable top, not because you can't open the soda bottle. Obviously, it's not going to be worse to make sure it's a chavis. But because of the recent, I mean, this was a recent development, something like 10, 15 years old, where they started making these tops that become perforated in such a way that you are gamer the kli at the moment that you pull it off of the top.
So when it's put onto the bottle, it's part of the bottle, is it?
It's sealed in a way that it's not usable. You can't use it until you bust it off. That makes it the kli. Ve'in nokfin migufa shel chavin. Now, furthermore, you should know that you cannot make a hole through the top of the chavit. That, says Rabbi Yehuda, is because that already that's already being mitake. You're being mitake in an opening, and that you're not supposed to do. To break is one thing, but to be mitake, and you said you can't be mitkaven lasot kli, and making a petach is basically a tikkun. Whereas the chachamim are matir, and they said that's not the norm to make a small hole in the magufa tachavis, to pick up the chavis and pour wine out of it. People, that's not how you use a chavit. But you cannot put a hole in the side. Lo yikvena mitzida. Now we'll see what this means. This means in the tzad of the chavit or in the tzad of the magufa. We're going to be discussing this in the Gemara. The imaita nekuva, if there is already a hole there, be very careful not to seal that hole with sealing wax. Because if you do that, you're being mimarea. Because what you do when you push it in and you rub it shut, then that was part of mimareach, which is mimachek, we had on the Or, it's one of the malachot, and that is an issur d'oraita. Om Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, there was once a story, I remember, by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where somebody had done that, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, oh my gosh, Chosh Hashanah lo mechatat, it's possible that putting in that wax into the hole could be the guy's chayiv, even a chatas, depending on how he did it. Omar Rav Hoshaya, I want you to know that when the Mishnah says over here, you can bust the chavis, you can only take a knife to break off. The norm was that they would smash off the top of the barrel with a scythe. You can only use a knife to do that if the figs in the barrel were pressed into the barrel. So then you would have needed the knife, igule dvela, igule dvela, cut with a knife. You would have needed to pick up the knife in order to cut the figs from the fig, pressed fig cake. But if they were separate figs, mefuradot, you wouldn't even be allowed to pick up the knife to use to break open the barrel. Mefuradot lo. What? Is it mefuradot lo? It's a fair shabraita. Meitfei, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Nevi Adam et achavit shel yayin, you could bring a barrel of wine, you can seal it off its top with a knife. That certainly is not talking about where you need the knife to cut the wine. So it's got to be that you can move a knife to cut a barrel. And put it, minicha lefnei orachim b'shabbat, meino chosheish, you don't even know. You're breaking up the whole thing. It makes no difference. There's no chash over here at all of asiyas kli. No, wait a minute. Obviously that's mutter. That's going according to the Rabbanan. Remember the machlokes we had before about mukta, was that Reb Nechemya held that even after we were matir, the original takona of mukta, we only allowed you to move a kli for the main purpose which that kli is used for. And a knife's main purpose is not breaking open barrels. So if you're picking up the knife to cut the contents of the barrel because it's a fig cake, then you can also break the barrel to get to the fig cake, Aliba the Rebbe Nechemya. But according to Rabbanan, we don't paskin this. So according to Rabbanan, obviously, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you pick up a knife to cut a barrel. Well, why the heck would Reb Oshaya think that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemya? That he has to say it's talking about where you have a fig cake. My dochid, Reb Oshaya, look me masizik Rabbi Nechemya, and therefore, oh, the Mishnah is only talking about where you had figs. I understand. I mean, since when do we make a Mishnah go like Rabbi Nechemya? Just say it's talking about separate fruits, and it would be going on Libet Rabbanan. Oh, my brother, no, they see. Rav Hoshaya was making a dig in the Mishnah. Masnis and Kishite. He's thinking to himself, the Mishnah could have just said, you're allowed to break open a barrel for fruit, right? Why does it say for grogrod? Why mention figs, Bichlal? That was bothering him. So my ire the tani grogrod. You could just say perot. Therefore, it must be it's introducing figs because it'll really make an afkamina, according to Rav Nechemya, whether it was figs or whether it was something else. That's the point. Tanya Chada. Now, one brighter says, chotolot shel grogrod for shel tamarim. You have these baskets, and these are throwaway baskets, basically, where you make out of the kapot ha-tamarim, really the lulavim, you make a basket-like thing, you put the unripe dates in it in order for them to ripen, or grow, you can put figs in it, and yeah, you can open these things on Shabbos by untying them, you can be matir, you can be mafkia, you pull out the actual pieces from the knot so that it just falls apart. Or you could cut straight through the strings that you used, and that would be okay. Now, why the heck that would be okay is very unclear. Because as Rabbi Kiviger says, I mean, what in the world is the heter Especially according to Rambam, if you're mafkia, according to him, that was the Isser D'oraita of taking apart the something that was sown. So why isn't this, what's the head to open up a knot? I don't get it. I leave that as a question. Now, the question, this is really serious issues, and there's how far are we being matir, doing things which if it would be for anything else would be usher.
So the chazan,
yeah, I mean, this is normally Nisr D'oraisa. So the Chazanish Taina is that anything that is part of a kli, and it's part of the way that you use the kli. This kli is open and closed, through knotting the top. And that's not called knotting. It has nothing to do with the material. It has to do with the use of the kli. Since there's no kavana in the actual string, in this case we weren't gozer on the string, where your kavana is entirely for the use of the kli. But boy, that's a very chutzpahdika explanation. And some indeed change the normal meaning of matur mafkiya to mean in ways that would not be an Isser D'oraita. Now there's another braita that says, well, you can untie it maybe, but you can't be mafkiya and you can't cut it. Now, why would I not be able to do that? Because it would need a knife or a screwdriver to be able to do. Oh, and therefore that explains the difference in the braita. Lo kasha. One is going alim rabbanon, who allow you to use a knife or a screwdriver. And one is going to Rechamim, says you're not allowed to use a knife or a screwdriver. Even though knives obviously are used for cutting, but the main purpose of the knife is not cutting a string. You'll take a knife from your drawer that you normally would use to cut your food, and you'll use it to cut a string, but that's not its norm. It's only for its major purpose, not even for a standard purpose that isn't the major purpose. That's amazing. The Tanya Rabbi Nechemia Omer, remember in the Rabbi Nechemia Shita, which was the most chomer approach that we had to the whole idea of buksa, even using a spoon or a talit or sakin, you can only move these things for their main function, not for anything else. Even if it's a mutter thing on Shabbos, you can't move it. Ein nitalin ela letzarech tashmishan, and nothing else. Bomi name Rav Sheshes. Mahu? No, absolutely not. You can't use your talit to sit on to make a softer seat. We don't paskin like this. It's Rav Nechemia. Bomi name Rav Sheshes. Would you be allowed to take a spear and to put on a really nice show for your guests? Your guests come in. Oh my goodness, such hush of a guest. You take a spear and you put it right into Richie. No, that's not me. You take a spear and you put it right into the side of the barrel. And that makes a really big hole and the wine starts coming out. And major impressive. So, I mean, my question is it basically what you're trying to do is make a real reusable hole, or are you just trying to make a big impression for Ein Yafa? If you want to make a petach, then it's usher. So is your that act, is that lepitcha kamechavin, in which case it's usher, or is it just l'Ein Yafa kamechavin v'shore? Amalei, it's lepitcha kamechavin, what you're trying to do is make a reusable hole, that's usher, even though doesn't make a very nice hole, but you're figuring to pretty it up afterwards. Meitven, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you can cut off the entire top with a knife. No, of course, cut off the entire thing with a knife, just so you're left with an open kli. Whereas before, you didn't have a usable kli. So why are you allowed to do that? Because over there, obviously, the whole idea is, get to it, boys. Here you got the whole thing. Because if you normally would want to be an Ein Yafa in this case, and that's why you took your lance and put it into Barrow, sorry. Then why not just open it all the way? I mean, you've got the top of the barrel. The way to make an Ein Yafa is to open it up and let everybody take as much wine as they want. This is a very nice gesture to put a lance in it. But the bottom line is you didn't want it to be completely open. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put the lance in it. So obviously, what you really want to do is come a chav and let pitoch miftach. He wants to make a petach. If you want an ayin yafa, he could have just opened it up normally. Enok v'megufa. Now, when you say you can't put a hole through a megufa, where is the hole in the top of the barrel? So if it's through the top, says Ravuna, that's where we have the machlokas of Rabuda and the Chachomi. But to put it on the side of the megufa, everybody holds that it's aser. And that's why it says in the continuation of Mishnah, lo yikvena mitzida. It's to put a hole in the top means you're going to allow all kinds of dirt to fall in, which case you might as well just take off the top. But if you put it in the side, then you obviously want to protect the wine, and now you'll bend the barrel over to pour. Whereas Rav Chisda says, no, for sure not. The whole machlokas is if you put it in the side. If you make a hole through the top, everybody holds that that's mutter, because that's not the normal way to make a hole. What? How do you say this? It says, how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that after it says the machlokas, it says, lo yikvena mitzida, don't put a hole in the side. You're saying the machlokas is about the hole in the side? No, that's talking about don't put a hole in the side of the barrel. We're talking about putting a hole in the side of the magufa. You're getting very confused. The magufa is that top that's attached to the barrel that's also made out of cheres. So that's basically, that's the machlokas. So there's three dagas. Put it through the top of the magufa makes no sense. That's not the derech. To put it to the side of the barrel, that's what you're normally doing. You put some type of bung hole. Exactly. That's the norm that everybody's ready. You can't do. To put it in the side of the magufa, that's where the machlokas is. So when it says over there, it's begu for the chav. It's a deep turn up on it. Ain no clean nekev chadash b'shabbat. You cannot make a new hole in a container on Shabbos. If there's already a hole and you want to be mosif, in ba mosif mosif. The yesh omrim ain mosifim. There's some who hold you can't even make a hole bigger. And we'll see what this is all about in a minute. V'shavim, but everybody is moda, that you are allowed to be no clean a nekev, b'nekev yashan, as if there was a hole there that had been now stuffed up with something, then everybody agrees that you can reopen something. That's not making a new petach, because the point is that it's meant to be reopened when you put it there in the first place. So, explain to me, what is the difference? You're telling me a new nekev you can't make. Why? Tanakama. Ma'ishami nekev chadash delo. Because you're being metaken the opening. And therefore, it's considered to be a malach, you're saying. It's like an asiyas kli. So when you're adding to it, when you're adding to it, you're making a new, better tikkun of a petach. Why isn't that also a sir? Says Rabbah, let's get our facts straight, okay? Here are the facts. Midioraita, making a hole, is defined by ingress and egress. There's no such thing as a hole that goes in one direction. That's considered to be shayach to binyan. Binyan means that it's usable the way you make a doorway or a window. Okay? So Dvar Petach, Dvar Torah, a petach which is not made lotziu lahachnis is not considered to be a petach. The Rabbanan make a gzera, not to make even small holes that will not allow things to go in and out. But you know why? They made a gzera because of a lul shel tarnagolim. The people do not realize that when you make a hole in a chicken coop, they think that in their minds, they're making a hole to get fresh air in the chicken coop. So they don't view that as going in and out. But they don't take into consideration that that isn't true at all. They want an exchange of gases. That's what they want. They don't want to let air in. They want to exchange the carbon dioxide that's in there for fresh air. They want it to go out together with all of the other filth that's in the air already. That's gases, methane, who knows what's gotten in there from the chickens. And exchange that with air, in which case a hole in a chicken coop is ingress and egress. But they don't think about that. So because of that, the Rabbanan were gozer, don't make one-directional holes in order to focus. That's a very common issue on Shabbos. See, the chickens aren't doing well. You figure you'll poke a hole in it to get in some fresh air. They seem to be choking. You say, okay, I'll put fresh air in. But putting fresh air in is actually taking out the stale air. So it is going in and out. Because of that, they made a gezer. Okay, so now that you understand that, we're over there, it's the avid l'yula avir, it's to get in fresh oxygen, l'afuke avol, and get the gases out. So, therefore, the Rabbanan were not gozer on adding to a one-way hole. You know why? Because no one would add to an existing hole in a chicken coop. When you make a hole in a chicken coop, it has to be very carefully limited to its by its size. The moment it gets big enough for a rat to crawl in, there's the end of your chickens. So you're basically going to be very careful not to allow anything that is much bigger than allowing the air to get in. Snakes or whatever. You have to be careful not to let them in. So over there, that they figured, vada, the lul shel tarnagolim lo atu lo sufi, you're not going to add to it. Mishum rifsha, because you don't want things to crawl in and to kill your chickens. The yesh omrim, and some say that ein mosifim, Because zindelotakli mi kora. That's because sometimes you would have made it so small it wasn't even working at all. So mamele, you need to make it just a little bit better. You need to be metakenet. And therefore, you could, in the end, also be creating off from the beginning in your chicken kufate luluchibe. Torah Shav Nachum Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Ki Yesh Omrim. We paskin that you need to be machmir, not to be mosif. So, when you open up a hole in a can, this becomes the whole problem. You're opening up a hole in a can of juice. You think you want to make a hole to allow the juice to come out. But the juice is not going to be coming out unless you're going to be allowing air to get in. Because you're going to rapidly have a vacuum that's going to hold, air pressure is going to hold your juice in the can, which is why you always make two holes. Either a big hole on one side, or one, I don't know, nobody remembers the old cans, but they used to punch one hole on one side, another on the other, it's a smaller hole, to allow air in so that you would get the juice out of the can. So unless when you put in a large hole under the circumstances, it's a bidirectional hole. But everybody agrees that if you already had a hole there, which was sealed, you can repunch it. Now this is only if the sealant was made as a protection of the contents. You don't want the contents to go stale or to get bacteria in there and so on. But if you were making that sealant to be mechazik, the container, now that makes it basically a solid new container for all intents and purposes, and then it's the same as making a new hole. So this is a chazik also. Can you define those terms? Pretty loose. I'll tell you, very simple. If the hole is made where it's above the level of the wine, okay, then obviously you don't need to strengthen the container. You just want to make sure you're not going to get air in there and mess up the wine or dirt in there. But if it's below the level of the wine, well, now there's already pressure against the side of the barrel. So there you have to make it strong enough to protect the container from being punctured by the wine pressure. Rava says, no. I didn't know how much pressure is there a little bit beneath the lamata ben ayayin. And that's just to make sure that the wine doesn't leak out. That's also called the shamir. That's not called making a strong container. Yeah, but you know when it's a chazek, we have to deal with the strength of the container. That's where you put the hole all the way in the bottom, where it's below the level even of the lees in the wine. Now there's a lot of pressure. And if you don't have a strong, solid seal, then that thing is going to pop out and you'll lose everything. Over there, that's called mechazek, that's going to be mechazek the barrel. Normally, abaya l'rova, you know, tanya de messiah elecha. There seems to be a braita that proves that you're right, that something is only called a non-opening when it was once an opening, when it's fully and completely sealed. But if there's still indications that it's just a sealant, and you can tell that it was once open, though we don't view that as an open. Now, this is a pretty far-fetched raya to Rava, because it involves sugyas that has nothing to do with the issue of lechazek al-shamer on Shabbos, but it's a general approach in which we're simply saying that there seems to be an indication that when it comes to doorways, which is another way of saying a petach, if there's any indication left that it still is a doorway. So let's say, where would this be nogea? So let's get a couple of indications where it's nogea, which not really similar to Shabbos. Where you've got two partners, let's say, in a chutzah. Now the interesting halacha over there is that every door into the chutzah has a right to a parking space. So therefore, in front of every door, you automatically have arba al arba that goes to you. Then you split the rest of the chutzah. But doors are considered to have been grandfathered in for parking spaces. Okay, brilliant halacha. Now, suppose the door was sealed. Can the shutev say, well, I was going to reopen it, so did I lose my rights to a parking space? I mean, just because I boarded it up? I mean, you know, the kids may move in here and they'll need a parking space, and therefore I can always take off the boards. So there is one question. When is it considered to have lost its right to a parking space? Another indication of what would be considered to be a door is the interesting halacha of sof tumah latzeit. Now, sof tumah latzeit means that where you have a dead body in a house, now you have extensions over the various doors. The Rabbanim made a gzera that any place where the body may be removed for the funeral, that area is considered to be as if the mace is under there, and that area is mitame. Now, the question is, is a boarded up door included in that takon or not? So there too, you would need to determine whether it's still considered to be a petach. This is pretty far fetched to bring a raya from here to Shabbos, but he's indicating to Rava from here, where we're going to see that in both of those cases, it's got to be a complete loss of the original petach before we'll say that it loses the shape of a door. Now there's a variation on sof tumalatzeit, which is the way Rashi understands the sugya here, not Tosfos, and that is where you have a body in a house that doesn't have a door. So it's been completely boarded up, then the house gets a din of a kever. The Rabbanim goes there, so it's a mausoleum, essentially. That's how we would view it. I said a mausoleum. Yeah. And the whole area, therefore, is metame with all around the house, bar v'hamis, which is considered the Rabbanim. Okay, Tosfos learns the sugya simply a question of tumalat zeit. But in any event, you could see where we could get into the question of what is considered to be a door. And here is my raya to you, Rabbi. First of all, it says, Abayit satum, yesh lo arba amot en achotzer. Paratzet pitzimav, if you remove the entire doorway by taking off the mezuzah and the, what do they call it, the frame. You took out the door frame. Then, and only then, would you lose your rights. And so then you don't get a parking space of Arbamas. A bayit satum is not metame called sevivav. So, but that's because it's boarded up. And Rashi learns metame called sevivav means literally the entire area because it's a kever. Paratet bitzimav, but if, lamaisa, there is no doorway left because you took out the whole frame, then it's metame called sevivav. Gufta. How about inserting a straw into a barrel, which was really, this was very popular in the 60s during the gas crisis, siphons. You'd go over to your neighbor's car and siphon out all the gas. You know? Of course, lots of people ended up poisoning themselves by sucking that first little bit of it. And it would go down their throats. You have to be very careful. But a siphon works beautifully. So what you do is you start siphoning something. As long as the air pressure outside is lower than inside, the water pressure is lower, air pressure will force the contents into the other container. So it will flow. Are you allowed to put the gufta into a barrel? So Rav Asa Shmo Shai, look, everybody's voting, you can't cut the straw, soft reed. We would use, of course, like a plastic on a roll, piping, a tube. You can't cut the tube on Shabbos, for sure. I mean, that would be metakin. So that it's awesome. To put a tube that was already fitted, just to put it back in to use it as a siphon on Shabbos, everybody's mutter that that's mutter. That's for sure. Now the question over here is like this. You cut the tube before Shabbos, but you didn't put it into the barrel. Now, obviously it has to fit well in order for it to work. That's the whole point. So suppose you put it in, but it wasn't mitukan properly to be able to stay in there. Samandi also. So those who say, Rav, that says it's also because of Xera, we're afraid that you may end up recutting it. And because the person feels he's making it. Whereas Shmuel is saying it's mutter. But what's the connection between cutting it in the first? Why would somebody cut it? And this is ketanoi, en kotchim shofer piatov, vein zor lomer b'shabbat. You can't cut a tube to use for this on Yom Tov, koshke, not on Shabbos. But if it fell out of the barrel, nafla, you can put it back in, even on Shabbos, koshke, not on Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi Yoshia is Mako. Mako on what? Rabbi Yoshia, what's he going on? Going on the ratio? That he's Mako, that you can even cut it? How could he be Mako to cut it? That for sure, you've been metaking. What would be the heter to cut the fatila? He's metaking money. So what, is he going on the Seifa? The Tanakhama said it's mutter, so what's he being maker? He can't be more maker than their maker. What's he coming to be maker? Tanakhama, Nami, Mishra, Shari. Ella, I'll tell you, that is the point. It's Merames here. To the case that I just explained, it's cut, but it's not mitukan. That's the point. That's the machlokas. So Rabbi Yoshia is Mekel, and Yod's Logas Rina, and everybody else was Gezer as if it hadn't been cut. That's the point. Dorf, Rav Shisha, Breda, Ravina, Mishmeda, Rav Yochanan, Alochak, Rav Yoshia, could be Mekel, even if you hadn't put it in before, but it was all cut and ready to be put in, that it's Mutter. V'im, Haitanikuva, if there was a hole there, be careful not to use wax. And here comes the sugya, also dear to our hearts. Can you use Vaseline? Right, because this is the Shaila. We know that wax is Bemacha. But Vaseline, which doesn't really maintain its finish, we can't really call that Bemacha. We're very mocked on that on Shabbos. You know, but it isn't really Bemacha. So here's the shaila. Can you use hardened oil? Mishkamai. Hardened oil is essentially like a petroleum jelly. Rav Asr Shmuel Asr. So Manda Asr, the one who asrs it, oh God, you remember that stuff? The one who asrs it is Gazrina Mishum Shava. He says, look, Vaseline, if you let people smooth Vaseline over something, they'll end up using wax. Therefore, Manda Asr. Manda Asr says, oh, who's going to confuse something jellyish with something that's almost a solid? That you can poke into position. Lo gazrina, omle rishon bar chana, the Rav Yosef. Didn't you tell us beferish in Rab's name that Mishka was shari? Remember, Rav Yosef had forgotten his learning, so they wanted to remind him. You told us that Rab said that you can use Vaseline. Tavos Rishpa was a trapper, famous trapper, quoted Shmuel as saying, you cannot use a leaf. They used to use a leaf. This, by the way, is very popular now. Somebody came up with the brilliant idea is that you can use a foil leaf and you twist it into a wine top and now it pours beautifully and doesn't drip. It's become very popular. I could make millions on this simple idea. It's actually a Gemara. So what they used to do is they used to use leaves. Hadassim leaves, which are really nice. They're beautiful. They smell nice. So they would insert them into the hole, which would allow the wine to pour out nicely. And that would be making a marzev. Without making a marzev, so you make a hole, and you stick the leaf into the hole, and it pours really nicely because it curves and it comes right out the edge of the leaf. And it's really classy. So the question says, Tavos Rishpa Shmuel Taina, that you're not allowed to do that. My Taina, what would be us about that? It's because it's Rabbi Amram Edifti, because if you allow him to do that, he may actually make a real marzev. So put in a faucet on it. Rav Ashi Amar, that's not the problem. The problem is, what if you don't have a leaf? You go to the bush, you pull off a leaf on Shabbos. That's the Gzer Shem Yikton. My Bein Nayu. So where's the machlokas? The machlokas is we have a pile of leaves anyway. So you bid Kotim Umanche. Now, how about, once we're already talking about these various machlokas in quoting Rav and Shmuel, there's some other simple things like that. Let's say Besavia. Are you allowed to take out felt? This is very common in outdoor theater. In outdoor theater, you know, they always make money by selling those little blankets. They charge a mint for a little blanket, you know. I've got dozens of them because every time, sure enough, somebody needs a blanket. You have to sit on them. They get chilly or whatever it is. So you end up buying a blanket because you're too stupid and didn't bring one. So Besadia is basically the same idea. We got these felts. And now you want to sit outdoors on Shabbat, but you didn't bring it outdoors on Shabbat. So now you want to put it on and wear it. And then you'll wear it to where you're sitting. And then you'll sit on it. So can you wear it out to where you're sitting? So Rob said no. And Shmuel says yes. So Birak, if you're talking about something soft, of course you can wear it. Why not? So Birak and Kuleyamalo pleaded to short it. I mean, if the stuff is so hard, you can barely get it to crinkle around you. I mean, that's not called wearing something. Everybody's voted that that's us. It's not the derech of wearing. So ki pleged b'mitzi. We're talking about things that, look, people don't usually wear, but, you know, you wear it b'shasatchak. Saman Yos says, come on. I mean, everybody picks up that you're not really wearing it. You're trying to get it outdoors. Very smart, clever. Uman Deshari, let me think of my favorite way. It's not nobody's business what I want to wear. So this is what I'm wearing. Anyway, it's a Shakespeare festival. Maybe I'm dressing up like Hamlet. V'ada Rav, lav b'fereshit. The truth is that what Rav said, you're quoting, but he never said it. It was a Maisa Shahaya where people assumed, because and they assumed wrong, by the way, because what happened was Rav had come to a particular place on Shabbat where they did not have enough room for all the visitors. A lot of visitors had come because we were going to see there were Gedolei Torah there, Rav Kahana was there, Rav Asi was there. And Rav came and people showed up by the hundreds. They didn't have room for people to sit. So Lav and Rav. So they went out to sit in a Carmelit. And there were no chairs, so everybody was sitting on the ground. And they brought out these felts for Rav to sit on. It should be machabed, and he shouldn't have to sit on the ground. And he refused to sit on it. So I tell Besadia, now people there saw that he refused to sit on it, and they assumed the reason he wouldn't have sit on it was because he held they shouldn't have carried it out, because it's mirchikam asri, and so man the something he shouldn't have Besadia asr, which was not true. He actually agrees with Shmuel. This machlokas they made up. The reason he didn't sit on it is we know that it wasn't because of that, because Rav himself was once machris in a shir. You should know you are allowed to carry out levadim. So this was a mistake. The reason he didn't want to sit on it is because Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were there. And Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were, even though Lamaisa, they were Mechavin Rav, but they were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. And he did not want to sit on a Beis Avi when they're sitting on the ground. He didn't want to be Mechavin himself in front of them. They were like a Talmidei Mechavirim to Rav. And he just couldn't accept it. So Mishum Kvod Rabotenu, because Rav Kahana Rav Asi was there, and he's a visitor, and he thought, it isn't nice. They're going to be sitting on the ground. They're going to give me all the kavod. And he wanted to be mechaber then. So therefore, Lo Yashav Alav, refused to sit on it. And who are we referring to? That is Rav Kahana Rav Asi, that he wanted to be mechaber. Shover Adon Vetachavit Lecholi Minogro Grotu Bovat Shalai Kaved Lasot Kli. Ve'in nokvim gufa shel chavit divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim matirim. V'lo yikvar mitzida. V'im hayta nekuva lo yiten al hashava mipnei shehu memareach. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh ba lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ba'arab. V'omar, choshishani lo mechatat. Omar Rabbi Hoshaya lo shanu ela drusot. And that allows you to move the knife. Alva mefuradot lo. For a dot, lo, Major Shmuel Bar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Amar Mevia Adam Ata Chavit Shel Yain. I sure don't think that you're going to need the knife to cut the wine. And nonetheless, says Metiv for Shabbos Sayif, Amini Chadat Erochim B'Shabbat Veno Choshesh. Well, of course, that's Alibet Rabbanan. We're talking Alibet Rabbi Nechemia, who says you're not allowed to move anything unless it's for its main purpose. Why the heck? By Dukti the Rabbi Hoshaya, Lukumi Mat Nitin Karevi Nechemia, in which case he's stuck with saying it's referring to Dafka Drusot. Lukma b'mefuradot, Alibet the Rabbanan. Amar Rav, he had no choice because Matnitin Kashitek. What are we talking about Grogrot for? Why don't you say Peirot? El Shmamina b'drusot. Tanya Chadachotolot Shal Grogrot v'shal Tumarim Matir Mafkiya v'chotek. V'tanya Idach Matir Avalo Mafkiya v'lo chotek. Lo Kasha HaRabbanan HaRabbi Nechemia. D'tanya Rabbi Nechemia Omer Afilo Tarvad Afilo Talit Afilo Sakin Eini Talin Ela Letzorek Tashmishan. Bo Eminem Rav Sheshet Ma'ala Mivras Chavita Beburtia B'Shabbat. Lepitcho kamechaven v'asur, odioma, it's a gesture, la'in yafa kamechaven v'shoi. Omele, no. Lepitcho kamechaven v'asur. Meitver, Shem Gan Lil, omele, maybe, onem chavet shayayin, matiz or shabbosayif. Well, of course, atam, vaday la'in yafa kamechaven. But over here, jabbing something through the side of the barrel, if it's really for the purpose of la'in yafa kamechaven, just open up the top with tuchim yiftach. Eino kvin megufar shal chavit omer avon amach loket lamala, but min atzad devir akol osur. That's why the Mishnah continues to say, lo yikben amitzida. Rav Chista omer, no, mach loket min atzad. Al gabad devir akol mutter. So then how do you explain the fact that it says, lo yikben amitzida? Hata begufa de chavit, you're talking about the magufa. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Otvim Nekev Chadash B'Shabbat, Im Ba Losif Mosif, V'yesh Omrim Ein Mosifim, but everybody agrees that you're allowed to be Nokvim Nekev Yashan L'Chadchila, and the Tana Kama, Ma'ishami Nekev Chadash D'lo, to come attack in Pitcha. So why isn't a Sufi Nami come attack in Pitcha? Omar Rabbits, look, it's all a gezeira. You gotta understand. Vartara, ko petach sheno asri lahak nisola otzi, enot petach. The Rabbonim were the ones who asked it, okay? And that's Mishum Lul Shel Tarnagolim, which people don't realize is actually allowing air in and allowing hevel out. And therefore, there's no chayish for Elohosif, because Imba Elohosif Mosif, because Mosif Belul Shatana Golem, for sure you won't be Mosif, because of Riksha, that's all you need is for some rat to get into the chicken coop. The Yesha Omrim Ein Mosifin anyway. Why? Because Zimnin was originally Lotak Mikari, even enough for exchanging gases. V'yatilar v'uchibe Dorish Rav Nachman B'shom Rav Yochanan Halakha Ki Yesh Omrim V'shomin Shenokvim Nekev Yashan Mechatchila Omrim Yenom Shmuel Hashon Elo B'makam Asui L'shamer. But if it's L'chazek the barrel, it's Asur. Well, Hechidom L'shamer and Hechidom L'chazek. Omrim Chista L'mala Min Ayayin is only L'shamer, but L'mata Min Ayayin is to be Mechazek the barrel itself. Rav Amar L'mata Min Ayayin also. How much water pressure is there already? That's also called l'shamer. L'shamer is that not to leak is also l'shamer. But we say l'chazek is kigon shenikva l'mata mid hashmarim. There's a lot of pressure. that only a complete closure is considered to be a closure. Bayit satum yeshlo arba amot. Even so, for your parking lot, only if paratzet betzimav, then you don't get a parking lot in the chatzar before the chalukah. Furthermore, bayit satum eni matamikos vivav zekever, or as Tosfos says, sof tumalatzet. Paratzet betzimav, then matamikos vivav. Gufta, Rav Aser and Shmuel is short. So to cut the tube originally to make a siphon, everybody's made it, that's awesome. To put it back in, it's mutter. The question is, if it was already chatuch, but you never had inserted it. So mandi also gazrina dima ati lemichtach lechatchila, umandi shori lo gazrina. Actually, ketanoi. Ein chotchin shofar biyom tov ein tzarchlomer b'shabbat. But if it was nafla, machzirina ta even on Shabbat, and ein tzarchlomer biyom tov, and Rabbi Yoshia is meikil. Now, here is the key. When you see Rabbi Yoshia, is make on what? I mean, Imei Ma'arish, what, he allows you to cut it? I mean, for sure that's Asuka B'takin Mana. Ela Asefa. But then the Tanakama was Matir. How can it be more Makel than being Matir? Oh, so it must be that he's talking about a different case, that he's Makel even if it's Chatchav Elo Mitakna, and that's the difference between the two sheets. Amar Sova Gazrinan, Umar Sova Lo Gazrinan. Dorif Rav Shisha B'Rei Dervina B'Shmei Rabbi Yochanan, Halachak Rabbi Yoshia, to be Matir, to put it in for the first time. Imai Tanekuva, Mishcha Rav Asar Shemur Shoy, Mand Asar, Gazrinan Mishum Sha'avas, of Vaseline and wax, seems to be the same. Mandashari Logas Vinan. On Lib Shwam Barabhanal Ravyas Befeirusha Martal and Mishbedarav, before you had trouble with your memory and your learning, that Vaseline is mutter. Omer Tavas Rishba Mashmuel, high tar for the asa, which they use to pour wine over, was really cute, is Osir. My taima, Rav Yirmi Midifti says Gzera Mishum Marzev, Rav Ashi says Gzera, maybe you'll be Kotem, the leaf, by Benet Benet Kotem Mandche. Beisadia Rav is Osir, and Shmuel is Shari. Now, Birakin, Kuleyam Opliki, that's the Derech Hotza'ah. Now you just sit on it. What's the problem? It's mutter to walk out with it. If it's really kashin, and these things don't even fold properly, for sure that doesn't look like you're walking out with a bag. The truth is that it isn't even a machlokas. This was all. The Rav never really answered it. It was a little bit fairish itmar. Somebody made a mistake. Michlola itmar. What happened is that Rav came, Lahua Atra, where there wasn't a place for everybody to sit. So what happened? They went out to a Carmelite and they brought out these Beisadias to sit on. He refused to sit. So Mandachaz is of a, oh, must be holds Beisadias Osir, which is not the case at all. Rav Achruzi Machret, the Machret is that Beisadias Mutter. The reason he refused to sit it because he felt it wasn't right that he should sit on it, and Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, Mishum Kvod Rabotenu, Loya Shavalov, that was Manio Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, who were sitting on the ground. Today's daf, Achuf Mem Vov, we got up to the Mishnah already in Amud Aleph, then we will begin with a rousing
Dukta Heideke Mishnah.
Shover Adam et Achavit Lecholi Men Adrogot, Bavad Shlo Yitkaved Lasot Kli. Now here's one of the most common problems that comes up on Shabbat. What do you do when you have a closed container? You need to get something out of the closed container. Says the Mishnah, you can take a knife and just open it up. The reason being that you're basically being the kalkel when you slice it open. As long as, as long as you're careful that your kavana is not to make a pretty kli that is now reusable. So therefore, we weren't, there's many different approaches, but the beikar, we certainly weren't gozer, even though sometimes there's a dinim mekalkel, we weren't gozer dinim mekalkel in certain kelim, we'll talk about later on what we're referring to, where it comes to hotza'at ukli. Whereas when it comes to a cover that is, remember the way that they made their wine barrels was out of earthenware. They would stick on top of the earthenware an earthenware cover, which was then sealed around with cement to make it basically as one kli. So you cannot make now a hole in the magufa shel chavit, because even though the maisa, it's a strange way
of getting the wine out, make a little hole in the top and then pour it out of the hole. But nonetheless, over there, since you're being mechaven to make a nice kli with an opening, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do that. Because it's not a usual petach. That's not the way you would normally pour your wine. We'll get into the details of where precisely this hole is. And therefore, again, we weren't goes there because it's more of a mekalkel than a mitzakin kli. V'lo yikvena mitzida. Everybody seems to be made it, that you can't make a hole in the side of what? Is it clear the side of the gufa, the side of the chavit, all that will become clear in the moment. V'im haita nekuva. Furthermore, if there was already a hole in this barrel, then lo yitain aleha sha'ava, you cannot put in a plug of wax to seal up that hole, because what he does on that wax is he rubs it down afterwards, and that's one of the malachas on Shabbos that is done with the or. It's called memachei et ha'or. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ma'aseh ba, ifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'arab, someone, it was once a story when he was visiting Saudi Arabia, and somebody pushed in a plug of wax, v'yomar chosheshini lo michatat, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'm chayshish, the guy might even be chayav chatas, if he pushed it in and spread the wax with his thumb around the opening tightly. Omer Boshia, when we say over here that you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to eat the dates that are inside, I want to make something very clear, that Loshna Ela Drusot, the only time that the Mishnah was matir picking up a knife to cut off the top of the chavit is where anyway you had to pick up this knife in order to be able to cut through the dry dates, because grogrot are very tightly packed if they're drusot, and they just became like one solid piece of material, and then you would take a knife, a saw even, to cut through it. So once you're picking up the saw for that purpose, which is for its main sorach, you can use the saw to saw through the top of the chavit. Avam furadot, if you're talking about now where you have separate peirot inside, then you don't have a right to pick up the knife at all for a purpose which is other than its primary purpose. Clearly, what Rav Oshia is saying is he's assuming the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nechemiah, for some reason, which we'll have to clarify later. And remember that Rabbi Nechemiah Shita and Mukta is, nothing can be moved if not for the purpose for which it was primarily made. And he says, even if it's a klishim lach d'laheter, and since a knife is made for usually for eating purposes and not for sawing through the top of your tuna fish can, memela, you wouldn't be allowed to pick up the knife anyway. If you picked up the knife in order to cut through now depressed dates, fine, that's something else. Then you could already use it to cut through the barrel. May say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, maybe Adam et achav b'chayayinu metiz rosh habisayin. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel say you could bring a new barrel of wine, take out a nice samurai sword, and flick it right across the top? It's a very, very lovely way. I mean, that definitely gives you a feeling of drink up, boys. Very broad way of bringing in your wine. I don't know if your dad ever used a samurai sword for that kind of thing, but
circumcisions
I don't think would be the way to go. But this is definitely a very broad, I mean, unless you're practicing on the name of your team, then, of course, there'd be no problem.
That is my friend.
Yeah. So the problem is that you shouldn't be allowed to use the sword for this purpose. You know, it says you can put it in front of the Orchim, they know Choshesh. What's your question, obviously? I mean, why would Rav Shimon ben Gamliel be going to the Mishnah? That's the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold of a Klisha Malachi Laheter. What's the problem? Even if it was a Klisha Malachi Laheter, what's the problem? No. The Mishnah, however, is Rabbi Nechemiah, and therefore it's got to be talking about a knife that you had picked up in order to cut through the contents of the barrel anyway, which are pressed, and therefore must be cut. So that's why I said it's got to be talking about pressed fruit, not loose fruit.
So the barrel contains
fruit? Contains just very tight fruit. I understand. Why do you make life difficult for yourself, Rav Oshia? I do get a Rav Oshia, look at my sister, Rabbi Nechemiah, Ubidrusot. What is pushing now Rav Oshia to claim that the Mishnah is going according to Rav Nechemiah? That's a given. And therefore, it's got to be talking about pressed fruit. What's bothering you? Let it not be talking about pressed fruit and going according to Rabbanan. I understand. Look at the Mefuradot, the Rabbanan, Amar Rava, because he had a problem with the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah. Madnita Kashita, he was bothered by the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah mention Grogrot, Bichlal? What is it, grow? Just say, a barrel of fruit. Does it matter to me that they're grow? The dry fruit, the fresh fruit, what's the difference? Let's think they wrote. El Shbamina Bidrusot. Clearly, the only reason to mention grow is because the derech is to press and to get a cake out of it. Now, their cakes used to be the size of an entire barrel. Then they would break it open and they would cut. So why would that be? Must be. It's going out, leave it a readiness. Okay, gentlemen, it was pretty good today. I guess we're ready to start tomorrow. Oh, sorry, Richie, you missed the whole thing. I can't believe I missed the whole thing. Therefore, we learn that it's talking about, Boshi, it's talking about according to Rabbi Nehemia. Tanya Chada, Chotalot Shel Grogrot V'Shel Tumarim, Matir U'Mafkia V'Chotel. This is an extremely contemporary sugya, because as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein pointed out, Chotalot Shel Grogrot are the modern equivalent of one-time use kelim. Because what they would do is they would make, and you see this very often, they would make these very loose containers that were made out of the actual leaves of the tamar tree. And you make these one-time throwaway baskets loosely out of it, in which you can put the dates, and you let it there, let it sit there until it gets ripe and full, and then you rip it open, and you basically eat. So now the question is, can you cut open the baskets? These things are, you seal them up, basically by tying with the actual pieces of the tree. And with the thin branches and so on. So what would be the din over there? Says the Gemara, look, we bring a number of different brises. One of the brises says that if you have chotalot of grogrot or of tmarim, matir, umafkia, v'chotech, you could basically untie them. You could pull them apart. Mafkia generally means to take something which has been twisted into a thread and to pull apart the thread. Now, generally speaking, pikia is the opposite of spinning, and therefore it would be a malacha. We're saying over here, unspinning, untwisting, rather. Says over here, you could even be mafkia. Now, many hold that you can't literally be mafkia, but when it says mafkia over there, it means basically cutting through each piece separately. However, it's clear that there are those who are consider this to be mafkia mamash. Either the reason is because this is not really spun thread. After all, it's twigs more rather than threads. It doesn't have really a din midiraisa of spinning or of undoing a spinning. And the mela, as we said before by the kalim, we are not gozer. When it comes to the kalim, we are not gozer things that are mekalkel. The chotech, then you could just take a knife and you could cut through also. Whereas another writer says, v'tanya yidach, matir, you could undo the knot over here if it was tied with some kind of rope, but you cannot be mafkia and you cannot cut. Now, what would be the basis? I mean, matir is also normally a malacha b'oraisa if it's done with a real knot. So clearly, the issue over here is not whether we're makbid under rabbanans of mikalkel when it comes to kalim, but rather whether you're allowed to pick up the knife to cut. And therefore, our rabbanan, our Rebbe Nechemia, the Tani Rebbe Nechemia Omer, afilu tarvad, vafilu talit, vafilu sakin. Look, I don't care what you're talking. You could be talking about the most innocuous kli in the world. Something that you use all the time. Something that you put on your back. Something that you use to cut your cheese with. I don't care what you're talking about. You can't pick it up for some purpose other than its main purpose. You want to take your talit, you want to use it to cover an open chumash. You can't do that. It's mukta. A talit is meant for wearing. Any talina elalitzarach tashmishana. Therefore, in this case, how could you go ahead and cut if you don't have a knife to cut with? Now, obviously, we don't paskin like Rabbi Nehemia, as we've already seen earlier in the Masechet, in which case it seems to be saying over here that there is no problem in doing any of these types of things, from which Rabbi Meisha Zatzal came to the conclusion that if you're dealing with one-time use cans and things like that, you can do whatever the heck you want. You can open up the can on Shabbos. Okay, maybe don't be metakein. A nice opening for it, like it says over here. You want to be machmir, that it's more like a chavis. But the chotalot seem to be even less than a chavis because they're one-time usages. Now, the Chazon Ish was very machmir, and the minhag has come to be very machmir. But the later poskim tainted that the only reason that the Chazon Ish was makpid is because he didn't really view them as one-time usage. Because the fact is, as anybody recalls, at the time of the Chazon Ish, people were very makpid not to throw out tin cans. You basically use them to boil your eggs in. Everybody would use an old tin can to boil the eggs. They didn't have yet the plastic coating on the inside. So they were usable for cooking in. So you don't stomp throw out a tin can. It's like the hobos, you know. Hobo's going to throw out a tin can. So here, 50 years ago, at the time of the Chazon Ish, everybody was a hobo. So you couldn't really view it as chotalot. But Enoch Inami, if the Chazon Ish would have seen it as a chotalot, he would have been matir also, the way Ramesha was matir. That's what many of the modern post-human posts say. The Maisa, where you have clearly a one-time use thing that will not be refilled by anybody. For instance, a soda can. You have a soda can, which you're going to pull off the tops. You'll say, if I pull off the top, I'm making a beautiful opening, because it was pre-stamped. Mm-hmm. But the Kavanah is not to make a beautiful opening. The Kavanah is basically got the easiest way to open it. And it happens to be the easiest way to open it makes an opening, but it's not an opening that is meant to be reused. The whole point of a can is to drink and throw it out. It's very difficult to reuse a can, and that's not what it's for. Mamela, many are matir pulling off the tab without worrying about it. There's some parts of it say, don't pull it off all the way, leave the last bit, so that it's, at least you're not mitaken it the way that it was made. But Lamaisa there, that doesn't seem to be much of a problem. Now, this is all based, this stress on the chotalot and the one-time usage, is based on Tosfos' assertion over here that the entire sugya is only talking about mustaki. If you remember, mustaki means bubblegum put together kelim, sort of like Rav Heidemann's old car, in which you have a junk kli that is really throw-outable. And the reason that Tosfos says this is based on the Gemara and Eruvin. We have a shaila of if your Eruv is in a container that you're not allowed to get to on Shabbos, the case over there is in a mingdal, then it says over there, so who be makom echad, eruvo be makom acher, since his makom shvisa was not inside of the pantry or in the drawer or in the can, so memeil, it's not a kosher Eruv. Tosfos says, why isn't it a kosher Eruv? According to this, you're allowed to just break the can. Why can't you break? It's a kli, it's not a building, a migdal. Remember, migdal simply means a drawer. Membeila, Tosfos says, must be talking, and from the sugya, because the sugya is machalic between mustaki and between other kelim. It must be the Gemara is taking for granted. The entire sugya here is a reference to mustaki. Because since it's junk, the tikkun of it, there's no chashash of any mokum la tikkun, that we would view it as a tikkun kli with a opening that is yof and so on and so forth. It's not meant for that. It's something that people aren't makbid on. It can be used once, but it's not kedai to put together again. So you're going to empty it out and throw it in the garbage, basically, which is our standard one-time use. Therefore, he compares really this entire sugya to the modern situation of one-time use kelim. However, there are certain kelim where the whole point is to manufacture it in a way that creates the gemar kli by the consumer, such as, for instance, you have a box of milk. So the box of milk is made so that it can be opened in such a way that you can fold it out and create a spout. Over there are many who are mocked, but they say that's by definition the osim kliyafen. Because the whole point over there is that this is its gemar, and that you now have a useful container of milk that will stay in your refrigerator for a few days, and you have a nice spout. So therefore you should not open it in the normal way to create a spout, because there went b'vachelo yitkavei lasot kli. Clearly, the same thing happens to fruit soup. I see that hand. It's all fruit soup oriented. And the issue where you get into problems is where you get into makabe potash problems, such as the old question of even if it's meant to be ultimately thrown away, the top of a bottle is lamaisa completed when you pull it off of the little plastic perforations and therefore now have a usable top to be reused. Okay, there are many who are mocked on that, but kind of that it's maybe mocked up a foundation.
The bottle is not anything that could.
The top of the cap.
Yeah.
You can ask for a mission. I'd be happy to tell you. So,
the V8 cans used to be different.
I don't know. That was when V8 was kosher because people didn't know about clearances. So, no, it's even better.
Right, that's what I thought.
Right. Unless it contains fruit juice.
Or is it reusable? What's it that we drank? It was used as a muscle because the can was made with the hole, and in the can you plug the hole. So it wasn't being created.
It's even better.
Right. So that was these. Right. I just remember finding that the VA can is different. Is that what it was?
No, what they used to do is they would have, instead of, they have now a very careful, that wasn't within the range of technology in those days, they now actually have the metal itself almost cut through. But that's very, very fine machinery. What they would do in those days, they would cut it through, they would have a plastic piece underneath, and then the top would be attached to the plastic. It could be pulled off, because they couldn't risk cutting through the metal to that point, because it failed too often. Nowadays, it's actually perforated in the metal itself, so it's just at the point of being pulled, and it's the machinery is machined fine enough to be able to do stuff like that. So then the V8 cans, it was expensive, the process. Nowadays, it's nothing. So continues the Gemara. Okay, this is therefore one of the most intensive contemporary sugyas. How far can you go with the tefillah of these various containers of jam?
This is
It was a type of car. V8.
V8.
The only thing is, it ran on clam juice that they called tomato juice. I think in South Africa or those places, they didn't have stuff like that. It's a purely American experience, let me tell you. Barmine Mirfshashis. Ma'olam Nivras Havita Baburtia Bishabata. The question is like this. I mean, once Uncle Nady took out his samurai sword, you know, the guests come in and he flicks the top off of it, and it's really impressive. He now is really getting into it. Okay, so the question is, can he use a bayonet to puncture the next one? That's already, it's not quite as giving, but it's certainly impressive in terms of its aggressiveness, you know. So would you be allowed to use a bayonet to puncture a chavit? Do we say the pitcha kamichavit v'yasir? Is what he's doing. He's doing it in the side of the chavit now. So we say, look, his interest is making a real petach. That's the way you would make a petach on the side of the barrel and insert a tube, which then, you know, like what we have for a tap. Or maybe he's just trying to, you know, do it in a big way. I mean, it's definitely impressive. So maybe that's all he's trying to do. If he wanted to do it with an ayin yafa, he would go for the gesture, you know, the full scale. I mean, the puncture of the side is basically interested in making a petach, and that's also, as we saw, you have to be careful not to make a petach yafa. Doesn't it say that it's okay to cut its head off directly, as we said before, with your sword? Now, I mean, over there you got a nice, smooth top if you do it right. Why isn't that called also the petach kamechavi? No, because how come vaday la'ayin yafa kamechavi? Over there, I mean, the whole idea is that you're trying to show that you're the broad gesture. But over here, in ita la'ayin yafa kamechavi, you really wanted to just make the show of it. So then, why don't you go all the way? Why don't you take off the top? But you're making a hole in the side. I don't care if you're making it in a grand way with a bayonet. The bottom line is, you were carefully calibrating having a chavis that you could put a berez into the side, and that's a no-no. Ein nokvin legufash el chavit. So now the machloket in the Mishnah was that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot make a hole in the top of the chavit, not the chavit itself. Whereas the Chachamim say it's mutter. Now clearly the question over here is, how much we're makbid on the derech of asiyata petach? Says Rav Huna, the whole machlokas is if you put it on the top of the cover. The top of the cover, who puts a hole in the top of the cover which forces you to turn the whole barrel basically almost upside down in order to get it to start pouring? If you're going to make a hole in the cover and you don't want the whole wine exposed, you put it in the side of the cover. I mean, remember, the cover is an actual piece of cheres. It's not just a flat top that you sew down, glue down. So Mamela, you would have made it in the side, and therefore it's not its derech. So the machloket is the mal of them, and atzad de bea kolas. Everybody would be motivated. You put it in the side, that's already pretty convenient. It's true, it's not very low on the barrel, so in order to get the wine out of it, you have to bend the barrel more than you would normally like to. But already, that's a derech of making a hole, and hainet etani, lo yikbena mitzita. That's why it says in the Mishnah, but not in the side. Meaning, not in the side of the magufa. No, not talking about not in the side of the barrel. That for sure you can't do, because that would be a normal petach for a barrel. Rav Chisda Amar, machloket min atzad. On the contrary, the machloket is dafka in making it in the side. Over there, Rav Yehuda says, look, that's already too similar to a real petach, whereas al gabat, put it on top. That for sure is not the derech of a petach. And there even Rabbi Yehuda would have been made a divrei hakol mutar. Why does it say other kind of loyikana mitzida? Loyikana mitzida wasn't referring to the magufa, the covering of the chavit. Loyikana mitzida was referring to gufa de chavit, to the actual chavit itself. Over there, that is the derech, and then you put the tap in it, and that for sure you're not allowed to do. Tana rabbanu, ein noktim nekev chadash b'shabbat, ve'im balo sif mosif. To puncture a new hole into a container, that you can do. But if you want to add, it's already punctured and it's not flowing properly, that's okay. V'yesh omrim ein mosifim. Others learn that you're not allowed even to be mosif, because you can come to be mitaken that way too. And everybody agrees that if you had a hole that had already been punctured and now it was stuffed up, shavim shen nokvim nekev yashan lechatchila, there's no problem in opening up a previous puncture that someone had put a little bubble gum in to stop. That's already not considered to be making a new petach. The Tanakama maishna min nekev chadash delo. Why did the Tanakama say that you cannot make a new hole? Because the kometakin pitcha, obviously he holds that you're not allowed to be metakin mona to make a petach. So what's the difference? Marchivo nami. If you're going to expand on an existing one, obviously you're not satisfied with the flow. You're not satisfied with the flow. So that's also metakin. What's not kamina? Kometakin pitcha. So what's, I mean, logically, there doesn't seem to be really any difference between it. On my Rabba, I'll tell you why. You have to first understand that the problem of mitaken, in terms of its similarity to binyan, midioraita, it needs to be defined first, because otherwise you're never going to understand this. The truth is that Dvar Torah, kol petach, she'enu asri lahachnis lahutzi, eino petach. Normally speaking, we don't view a petach as being significant unless it's meant both for ingress and egress, because that's the meaning of a petach in terms of melach of Shabbos. That's melachas machshavos. If it's not really a usable petach in both directions, we don't consider it to be a petach. The Rabbanan were gozer because there's one petach that people don't realize is made the hotzi v'lahachnis. And that is, people think that when they'll make a hole, let's say, in a lul shulchan agolim, on a hatay, so they think to themselves, I'm just letting some cool air in. But it's not true. What you're really trying to do is exchange gases. So you want what's inside of the lul to go out and the fresh air to come in. So essentially you are talking about in and out. People don't think that way. So in order to avoid that problem, the Rabbanan made a gzeira on even one-way ptachim, because there are one-way ptachim that are really two-way ptachim. And therefore, they made a gzeira about a lul shel tarnagolim da'avid liyulei avira lafuki havala, because you want fresh air in there and the old air out of there. So then, im bala osif mosif, but nonetheless, now you can understand. Even though they made such a gzeira, they didn't aser adding to an existing petach. You know why? Because the whole marker of the gzeira was lul shel tarnagolim. A lul shel tarnagolim you will not add. The reason is that the original petach is made carefully to avoid rats getting in, because they'll kill the tarnagolim. So the original petach is a size that is usable for gases, but not for small things that could climb in. You don't want any snakes getting in, you don't want rats getting in, so maybe you're careful not to be mosif. We didn't make exera therefore on a sufe. So if you have a barrel, which has nothing to do with a lul shel tarnagolim, since the mocker of the gezera is lul shel tarnagolim, there's never a gezera on hosafah, because there was no hosafah in the mocker of the gezera, which is lul shel tarnagolim. So therefore, vadai, the lul shel tarnagolim, lo ati lu sufe, mishum riksha. Since you're afraid of small predators getting in that will kill your tarnagolim, you're not going to be mosif. The yeshomri, now of the others hold, that argue, that ain mosifim, why? Because in the velot takne miikara, there may be times in which it wasn't even properly made in the lul shel tarnagolim, wasn't large enough to let the fresh air in and the old air out, or was too slow. They were generating more hevel than could be exchanged by the small hole that you made. So the memela, you were afraid that if you were not mitakenu lachatchila, you would come to make a hole that was lahakus for the hotzi, and then you could come to the oraita. Memela, to la ruchibe, they also asked all hosafa. Doresh Rav Nachman, Mishum Rav Yochanan, halachaki yesh omrim, you have to indeed be careful not to be marchiv, an existing hole in a real not in mustaki, I'm not talking about over here, but rather in those type of things that indeed will be reusable. The shavim shenokvim nekev yashan mechatchila, everybody seems to agree that when it comes to re-puncturing a sealed hole, that's mutter. Omrev yonam shmuel, now obviously that depends how it was sealed. Yeah, bubble gum, I understand. That's not really a sealed hole. I mean, if you rebuilt this thing with epoxy and so on, I mean, then it's even stronger than the original. So what would be the nafkamina? How do we decide that? We decide that on the terms of the focus of the resealing. You can reseal sometimes to prevent air from getting in so that it won't spoil. Or you can reseal in order to avoid the pressure of the liquid not forcing its way out. Obviously, it depends where the hole was. If the original hole is above the level of the liquid, you don't need much in the way of closing it up in order to prevent it spoiling. So you just put on something that prevents air from getting in easily. Mashenkin, if it needs to be strong because it's holding the liquid, then you'd have to put a really good seal. That would be us. So that's what our first approach is over here. What then would be a hole that is meant Lishamer versus a hole that you now need resealing kedei lechazek? It depends if it's above the liquid level. Lemala min ayayin zeh lishamer. If all you're interested in doing is getting and keeping the air out, and the hole was above the liquid level of the wine, that's called lishamer, and we're not mocked but on reopening. But lemata min ayayin is below the level of the liquid. Then already you're going to have to do it properly, and that's called lechazek. Whereas Rav Amar, no. Even lemata min ayayin, let's say it's below an inch of wine on top of it. How much pressure is added by an inch of wine to the ambient pressure? Almost nothing. It's not a big deal. You're talking about the chazek, you're talking about towards the bottom of the barrel. Towards the bottom of the barrel, you've got some serious pressure that now is going to force out your plug. You can't use a plug of bubble gum. You're going to use a plug that is stronger to try to seal with epoxy. Therefore, it says, Rava, even the batav and ayayin, it's also the shamer. That's just to prevent it from getting ruined. You're already down at the bottom of the barrel where the settled shmarim are, the leaves settled down. There you got heavy duty pressure, and over there you'd have to use epoxy. Yeah, but you can still epoxy them closed, right? I got a riot to you that basically you got to be talking about a real complete stima in order for something to be called rebuilt. Because it says, Bayit Satum, Yeshlo Arba Amot, Paratz Pitzimav, Emo Arba Amot. The din is like this. If the number of people own homes that open into a chatzer, they own the chatzer b'shutafut. The moment that they want to split the shutafut, then it's split as follows. Every doorway gets an unloading area extended into the chatzer for a distance of 4 amot, the width of the doorway. So you always get basically a little driveway into the chatzer. Doesn't make any difference if you've got 4 doors and the other guy only has 1 door. You're going to get according to the number of doors in your home. However, if there are doors that have been sealed, so then the sealed door not meant for use does not get a driveway. But what defines a sealed door? It says over here, only paratz pitzimav. If you just bricked up the entrance, that's not called a sealed door because you can easily reopen it. If you took down now the whole mezuzah area and now it's became wall, that's called a sealed doorway. Now, by the same token, I would say that you're right when it comes to the barrel. We don't view a resealed barrel just lightly sealed to prevent a little bit of wine from leaking out. A resealed barrel is the equivalent of parata pitzimav of a house. The same thing is true when it comes to a mazulim. What is this? Where you put you build a bayit around a kever. So then over there is the entire bayit becomes a kever, and the entire bayit is metame around it for arba amot, the way a kever would. So now the question is, what defines such a thing? It has to be sealed. So bayit satum eno metame kosavivav. A sealed home is not metame. With a mason, it is not metame the entire area 4 amas outside the way a kever would be. This is exeret rabbonin, so that kohanim shouldn't accidentally come close and end up becoming tame. So they created a 4 amos area in which it's metame the rabbonin. Paratze pitzimav. So if you just close the door, or you bricked up the door, it doesn't have a din now. A of a kever. But if you were parats of pitzimah, metamekos evivav. So what do we see from there? The same idea. Sealing is really something that's got to be clearly part of the binyan, just like you're saying, Rava, when it comes to sealing up a barrel, it's got to be in a place where it's meant to take it. It's tough, and it's going to be like the barrel itself, in which you're going to be able to put pressure on it from the whole contents of the barrel. Now, how about gufta? Now, the question is, I've got a hole in my barrel. However I did it, it was there before. I created it in a way that's mutter. Can I stick in the gufta, which is basically now the what did you call it before? On a beer?
The tap.
Either the tap, or it's just a straw-like device that allows the wine to pour out slowly wherever I want it. So am I allowed to stick that in on Shabbos? Rav Asar v'Shmuel Shari. So my chok is Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you're not allowed to stick it in. Shmuel says you're mutter. Now what's the machlokes? Mechatech lechatchila, to cut a piece of reed to use as a gufta, obviously not from the ground, but a raw piece of reed, that's not mechuber. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to do that, because there you're going to be metakein to the correct length and so on, and you're not allowed to be mechatech for tikkun on Shabbos. So that for sure is us. Either the hole is already there, you did it with derech hetter, I mean, depending on the question before about poking a hole. For Pashtus, there would be no way to create, though. We said before that if you really wanted to just open it up, then you would have opened it normally. Must be one of that. So we asked it before. Okay, so maybe we have the hole over here. The question is whether we could put it in. So that's for sure they're not arguing about. Who would be Mater Mechatech or Chatzila? La Dure, what he already had a tap in it. So what's the problem? Why not? Why shouldn't I be allowed to put it in? It was already made from before. That's just the usage of the kli. That for sure is mut. Lo pligi de shari. Question over here is, the pligi de chaticha, the lo mitakna. They're arguing about where it was cut already for usages of wine pouring, but you never had taken this particular piece to fit it into this hole to see maybe you need to have it a slightly larger, so you should cut it more towards the edge, and so on. That's the question. So the question is over here, Gezerah. Mandi Aser. Why did Rav say it's Aser? Because he says, look, once, if you never tried it before, you never fit this hole, we have to be Gozer Dilma Atim and Mechatech Lechatchila. You may come now to try to get it to fit, to cut it at some other point. Let's say it's a little too wide at the far end. You'll cut it further down to let it fit into the hole better. Problem. So therefore, we don't allow you to use it unless it was already used. Mandi Shailo Gazvina. Majain Kein Shmuel holds no. For that fight, I'm not chayshish, but won't fit. You won't use it. Ketanoi. And this seems to be a machlokes tanoi. Ein chotchin shvoferet b'yom tov, ve'ein tzarich lomar b'shabbat. You're not allowed to cut to size a shvoferet, which would be normally made out of reeds, on yantav, and obviously not for Shabbos. Nafla, but if it fell out of an akli, there's no problem. There, magzirin otav b'shabbat, ve'ein tzarich lomar b'yom tov, there, you could even put it back in on Shabbos. Now, for sure, on Yantar, you could put it back in. Whereas Rabbi Yoshia is Mekel. Now, what does that mean, he's Mekel? How much Mekel is he? Was Rabbi Yoshia, what was he referring to? Was he referring to the ration? Was he saying that I'm Mekel, that you could even cut it and form a straw on Shabbos? L'chatchila. I mean, Hokam et Takein Mana. Why would he be Mekel for Tikkun Mana on Shabbos? Ela Aseifa, he's got to be going on the Seifa part. So, but the Tanakhama said it's mutter. How can you be more mekel than mutter? I mean, that's pretty good. You know, before it's already done. The Tanakhama also is matir. Ah, must be that there's a middle case which is not being mentioned b'ferush. That's the point. So there, the nafkemina between Rabbi Yoshia, who's mekel more than the Chachamim, is like this. The Chaticha v'lo mitaknai kebinayel. They're arguing about a case where it was cut before Shabbos. Now, you never had used it in this particular barrel. Can you stick it in or not? So the Tanakhama that said, well, no, I'm not going to be Mekel that far, they held like Rav. So Marsova Gazrina was Rabbi Yoshia, Savalo Gazrina. Once it was already cut, I don't have to worry about cutting it again in order to get it to fit the hole. That's how we passed like Rav Yoshia, and there's no problem of the Gezerah, which is basically the way that Shmuel passed over here, that it's mutter to put it in, even for the first time. If there was a hole in the barrel, you cannot seal it up because with wax, because we're afraid that that's already like memachiket or that would be in the Sidir Isa, or Maisa in Arabia with Rabbi Yochanan. Now, how about if you've got Mishra? Could you use Vaseline? I understand that wax basically is hard. You know, so the fact that you can move it, you warm it with your finger and you move it around the edge, I could see that as memachiket. But Vaseline, I mean, over there, it's, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's almost liquid. Rav asar, v'shmul shor. Mandi asar, the reason that Rav says it's asar, is gezera mishum sha'ava. He holds, once you'll be matir Vaseline in a tiny hole, people will come already to use sha'ava, which is real mamachik. Umandi shori lo gazvin, which Shmuel holds, we don't have to answer that. Omele Rav Shmuel bar Barchan el Rav Yosef. Remember that Rav Yosef unfortunately became ill and forgot a lot of his own Torah. So very often we find that his Talmidim would remind him of the Piskei Halachas that he had said to them in earlier years. So Rav Shmuel bar Barchan told Rav Yosef, "Beferush amarta la mishmei de Rav." You quoted Rav Beferush as saying Mishma Shori, that you could use Vaseline to plug up a hole. Omer Tavas Rishpa Amar Shmuel. Tavas Rishpa would come across him very often. He was a trapper and very versed in halachas and had to do with camping, trapping, and dinim of animals. So he quoted a psak of Shmuel as saying, you know, if you're out camping and you've got basically a small barrel, and we have and you have no gufta with you, so how are you going to pour your wine? So what you would normally do is you would take a leaf, nice tough leaf, and you would twist the leaves into the equivalent of a straw and plug it into the hole so that the wine could flow. I mean, you got to think on your feet in these situations. So Mamela, I want you to know that Shmuel paskin for me that you can't do that. You can't put a leaf into the hole because my time, I mean, what would be, what's the yes? So obviously he's talking about that you weren't cutting the leaf on Shabbos. My time, Rabbi Yemar, Midifti, Amidzera, Bishum Marzev. Once we allow you to do that, we're already afraid that you'll make a real Marzev. There's a sheet in Taisvis who takes this to mean a real Marzev, meaning a gutter pipe, if we allow you to do this on Shabbos. So then, when you got a problem in a rainstorm, you say, well, what's really the difference between making a gutter on Shabbos or making a little flaw? It's exactly the same thing. So you'll do the same thing for your roof? No. If that's the case, says Taisvis, so why aren't we getting the guys there on the gufta also? Therefore, the point is, it doesn't mean it might save for your roof. It means to be betakein, a real metal, or not metal, but even a straw, to cut it so that it would be a real tikkun. And that already, we're makbid. So Mamela, in order to avoid that, we don't allow you to use just a leaf that was hanging around. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says no. It's the same old gezerah that we had by the case of the shofaret. Gezerah shema yikton. We're afraid that you're going to actually cut it here. And by the Allah, you got a bigger problem. By the Allah, if you cut it, you'll cut it possibly from the actual branch. And that is the equivalent of breaking off a twig. Not from a growing tree, but breaking off a twig. Let's say use it as a toothpick. This is what Mamad Yomar said. There's a chiyuv chatas in such a way of kotma. It's mamish like making a kli. And therefore, we're afraid that you'll come to do that on Shabbos. So my binayu, nafkamina would be, ikbenayu de katimu manchi. Nafkamina would be, if you have a whole pile of hadasim leaves sitting around. And now it's a question, you'll take one to put it in. So if the gezerah shami yikdom, there's no mocker to be afraid of ktima. If the gezerah is because mishum marzev, okay, so then we'll answer it. Beisadya, how about pretending basically that you are wearing some heavy felt in order to get it out into, say, a carmelite, and wearing it as clothing, so that you have a beach blanket, basically. That's something you would normally wear. In our terms, would be similar to carrying out, you want to go out for a picnic, but you're not allowed to carry the picnic blanket. So you will put it on you like a talit, or like a Roman toga, and you carry it out, then you get to the park, you spread it out, and you sit down. So could you do such a thing? So beisadya, which are felts, that are sort of tough to wear. So Rav asar v'shmul shari. So my focus is Rav and Shmuel. The question, let's define the case. Berakiv, if you're talking about something that's soft, really like a blanket, Guli Amalo Pligidishar, that for sure is mutter, because you really do wear, as I mean, it's basically a talit, you're wearing something that's soft. So there everybody would hold its mutter. The kashin, you know, we're talking about something that you normally don't wear and it's hard, you're pretending that you're putting it on you, there also, nobody would argue. That for sure, Guli Amalo Pligidishar. Over there, it's for sure going to be us. Okay, pligi b'mitzai. We're talking about the kind of thing that is rarely worn. So mandiyos is the reason that Rav says over here it's usher is because people will say, he's carrying this on Shabbos for a picnic. And therefore, we ask it because it's michzik amaser. Even though, technically speaking, the fact that you were miyachid as a beged would give it as a din of a beged, you'd be allowed to carry your rishus harabim. But it's nearer like carrying. The one who says it's mutter. So what do you mean it looks like masr? The fact is you've got it wrapped around you like a toga. So who's going to say that therefore you're allowed to carry? So it's lo mechzik masr. And the truth is, Rav never said beferish that it's asr. Somebody jumped to a conclusion. Because what happened was, it wasn't beferish itmar, it was mecholola itmar. The Rav, ikla lahu atat lahavi l'rivcha. Rav came to a particular place where they had a small house. A lot of people came, they wanted to hear Rav's drasha. He was making over there a tish. There was no place to sit. So not that Yati Bakarmali, they went outdoors to a park to sit. And they brought Rav, they brought him this way, a blanket to sit on, felt. And he refused to sit. And lo yati. So Mandachaza people that were standing there figured, the reason he didn't want to sit was because they had carried it out into a Carmelite. He didn't want to do this because it was Mirzei Gemasri. So he wanted to teach them that you can't do such a thing. So Mandachaza's Sabbath Mishum de Beisadia Azeb Alohi. That comes of jumping to conclusions. You know why he didn't sit? Because Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who indeed were Talmidim of Rav, but who Rav treated like Chaberim, because they already were high targets, he didn't want to sit when they were standing. The other wasn't nice. So they had brought out the Badim only for him, and they hadn't been Mechabit Rav Kahana Rav Asi, so he refused to sit. The truth is that Rav himself had once given a drosha that you're allowed to carry out a beach blanket in this way. Rav was machriz beisadia's mutter. The reason he didn't sit is bishum kavod rabotenu lo yashavalav. He refused to sit on it as covered. Ma nino, who is rabotenu? Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who were talmidim chaverim of Rav, and therefore it was impolite to sit if they had to stand. Okay, I see that people are in a rush to get out of here. So, and you always do it with a bang. You didn't bang your Gemara today. You don't want to do it with a bang? He's got this idea. He figures going out with a bang means leaving Shir with a bang in your Gemara. It should not be any worse than that.
May I digress for a second?
No, you always digress.
Well,
okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, or Saba Josh had been practicing, it isn't right?
All right, let's do it. Another 2 minutes. We can finish it.
Notnim tafshila tochabor b'shvil shiyahi shamur. Now, we had all of these issues in earlier talking. Remember when we had discussed in Yonim of Erev Shabbat, a lot of these things done on Erev Shabbat, so we quoted that. So here, you want to put your cholent into a well, obviously without water, in a place where it's going to be cool, and therefore it won't rot overnight. So you're allowed to put it inside of a bor, b'shvil shiyei shamur. You could take a bottle of good water, mehaden, you take this bottle, and you put it inside of a well of water that is not really ready to drink, but it's cool, and they don't mix, obviously, the bottle is closed. B'shvil shiyei tsananu, in order for it to cool off, there's nothing wrong with cooling off on Shabbos. V'tatzonein b'chama, some have the gears that tatzonein b'chamin, you could put cold water into the sun or into warm water, b'shvil sheyechamu, in order for them to warm up, as long as it can, not going to be cooking it. Mishin nashru kelav baderek b'mayim, somebody who got wet when he was walking, and he fell into a puddle or something, he could continue to walk with them on Shabbos in that way. It's not considered to be masa, it's bottled to his beged. They know chorshesh, he doesn't have to be chorshesh that people are going to think maybe he washed his clothes on Shabbos and he's walking out with wet clothes. You don't have to be chorshesh for that. But, yigia lechatzar hachitzona, as soon as you get to the first place, you can take your clothes off, in which people will not steal it. It's a mokum shamur. You can ask the people, can I leave my clothes here? Shotchan bechama, you could spread them out in the sun to dry, and we don't pass in this. Avalo keneged ha'am, you cannot do that in places where there are people, because they'll be chayshi. What's this guy spreading out, hanging up his clothes to dry on Shabbos? He must have just done a wash. Now, pshita, what is the problem of putting something into a bar? I don't understand. There's some kind of chiddush over here. There's no heat in the bar. Why shouldn't I be allowed to take a pot and put it in a bar on Shabbos? What possible stretch of the imagination would be also with that? Ah, because ma'at emor nigzar mishum hashviyei gumot. Maybe you might think that, let's say you put the pot down and the ground isn't smooth and it's on an angle and maybe something will spill out of the pot. So you want to make it smooth. So you take your pot and you smooth it out now on the bottom, and then you might come to be mashva gumot, which is an isra on Shabbos. Gamashva, we're not chayshish. That amayna yafim bara'im. What's the chiddush in that? Well, you could put stuff into a refrigerator, I understand. What's the chiddush? Pshita. Truth is, there's no chiddush. It's just since we wanted to talk about putting cold water into hot water, so we started off by saying putting it into cold water. Safe at Strichalei. That you could put the tzone in, again, our gears is chamas and avchamin. What would be the chiddush of putting into something that can't cook it? Hanami pshita. Because now the tamen eggs are tamen asin is putting beremets. See, there might be a chashash that if you're going to warm up the water on Shabbos, so you'll put it into hot coals. And once you put it into hot coals, we have always exaggerated that you may end up causing them now to flame up again, as we had all through the first broken. So over there, we went, b'choshish kamash malam, b'mati, to leave something in the sun, or to leave something in warm water. Nobody's going to jump to conclusion from that, that it can actually be matmin and remets on Shabbos.